The student becomes the teacher. It's Lecture Me.
And my guest on Lecture Me this morning, which is brought to you by Blue Hills Secondhand Books in Parnell, is Lily Chen. Morena, Lily. Oops. Wait on, Lily. I'll just it's a little early on a Saturday. Let's start that again. I've got your microphone on now.
Morena, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here so early in the day.
I will be having a coffee afterwards.
You not had one yet?
No. Ah. I like my oat mochas from the cafes.
Ah, do you? Not many cafes open around this time of the day in Auckland, are there? In the morning,
thing. I feel like once the clock hits 9, everyone starts opening, so I have my choice of all the cafes around the city.
In the city, do they? Yeah. Okay. And it's raining, as I said before, you've brought in your umbrella, so yeah, wet out there.
Yeah, great weather for ducks.
Great weather for ducks. Okay, so you're doing an LLB BA conjoint, double majoring in psychology and sociology.
That's me.
And how many years in are you to this?
I'm in my fifth and final year.
Are you? Gee, that's a long slog.
Oh, absolutely. It's actually my final semester now, and I'm just chipping away at the workload. It's been a long journey. I've been in university since graduating high school. I've never stopped learning since I got enrolled in elementary school.
Gee, that is a... Are you kind of tired?
I'm exhausted.
Are you? Yeah.
Yeah. I also had an existential crisis last week about potentially applying to post-grad as opposed to going out and working, earning some money for once. But who knows? We're still very much on the fence about that. Probably not at University of Auckland.
Right, an existential crisis. You don't want one of those.
No, I just...
How did that manifest itself?
I think I was just looking at scholarships, looking at all the opportunities fly away, and thinking about how it applies to me and what I want to do in life, because I do want to do more research at some point. I just don't want to limit myself, nor... losing the opportunities while they're still available to me.
Yeah, and these are critical years too to make those decisions in, aren't they?
Absolutely, but I think that's also a misconception. I can definitely have that pathway when I'm older, after I've infiltrated the industry and decided I don't like it.
But you've already decided by the sound of things.
I think my belief is that I'm so young, may as well suffer and use my brain power when it's still at its max.
Okay, you've really thought it through. So when you say this, you've been learning since, did you say, elementary school? Mm-hmm. Are you from Auckland?
I'm from Auckland. Actually, I was born in China. I did 1 year of elementary school there and immigrated here to a completely new world.
Before you joined the university?
Here being Auckland. I studied, I live in Blahas Bay. I went to Linfield College and now I'm here.
Linfield College. Oh, right, okay. And 5 years, nearly finished. This semester ends, was it December or something?
In November,
okay. And you're going to, this morning, the class, one of the most recent classes you've been to was taught by Dr. Carissa Shodan, Gender 301, Gender, Sex and Commodification. And I guess I know what commodification is, but can you explain? I know what the word means, but what does it mean in this context? Yeah,
I can give the technical definition, which is defined through a Marxist lens, and it's externalizing, in this context, it's externalizing oneself and one's body for exchange and use value. And once you unpack that definition a little bit, it's about using the construction of sex and gender in order to sell products to the society.
The age-old commodification.
Absolutely, and that's very much applicable to artificial reproductive technologies, which I'm here to talk about today.
Okay.
Essentially, artificial reproductive technologies applies to procedures like IVF, in virtual in vitro fertilization, and what I'm currently writing an essay on, sperm and egg donation.
Okay, and is this part of sociology?
It is technically a gender studies paper, but it's cross-related to sociology.
Okay, right. So take us through your last lecture, or the essay that you're writing.
Oh,
have you finished it yet? Not yet.
I have.
Oh, you have?
Waiting for my grades, so...
Oh, okay.
If, Carissa, if you're listening to this, hopefully this counts for extra credit.
Very good.
But let me take you through the theory of artificial reproductive technologies. It
okay.
is very much a mouthful. We don't want to diminish the queer potential it brings to the formulation of families, because also people are desiring parenthood but are otherwise infertile, whether that's medically or other reasons. And it provides a tool for people to repair that destabilized gender body. It essentially introduces techno-scientific interventions where the disconnect between biology and gender is made more seamless. And that saying, once you donate your bodily materials, you're able to manufacture a baby. Everything is very much commodified in like market relation terms, and that's essentially the problem of artificial reproductive technologies. You're very much looking at a shift away from personal relations to relations that are primarily defined by the market.
For some, others wouldn't see it like that though.
Yeah, and I absolutely commend those trying to start families, but we need to critically analyze how artificial reproductive technologies have been marketed.
Yes.
Not in New Zealand, because we have an altruistic system where...
Which system?
Altruistic.
Altruistic, yes.
So you are not paid. Actually, payment is prohibited through a number of laws for gamete donation or surrogacy in general. You need a mutual agreement from both the donor or the surrogate and the intending parents.
Yes.
And you're not allowed to compensate beyond reasonable expenses, be it medical or travel.
Yes.
But in the United States, it's a completely different system. And I was reading this fascinating but horrific article about how sperm and egg donation recruits donors, how they select for donors, and how the donors are marketed on their website.
Well, tell us a little
absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely.
How is that done?
In class, we had a little exercise about about navigating their websites themselves. So we went on a California Chiropractic website where you select from various vials of sperm. And through a filter, you can click and unclick a couple of categories that you want to apply to your donor sperm. And obviously, you have the basic ones like hair color, eye color. A lot of it is racialized. And what really surprised me is that they have a few niche categories like blood type,
oh, yeah.
Or even astrology sign.
Wow.
I know. And it comes from like a misconception that all of these traits are genetically transmissible. And a similar procedure.
Star sign, yeah. Not genetically
transmissible. No, not genetically transmissible. But
right.
Also, a similar procedure applies for egg donors, albeit to a lesser extent, because there are less of them, so there's less competition and commodification in that sphere. But on average, the ideal egg donor tends to be whiter, thinner, and have more educational attainments compared to an average American woman. And it's because these companies, they are recruiting. They
looking
are,
for those
yeah,
people with
those people.
Attributes. And
absolutely.
Right. So how much does it cost you in the US then if you wanted to get a sperm donor? Does it give you the price?
Absolutely. I think it varies. In New Zealand, it's $10,000 in the public system and over $23,000 in the private system. And I think in the US, the prices are exponentially higher.
But did you say it was altruistic in New Zealand, though?
Oh, this is through IVF, in terms of like paying for the procedures.
I see.
In terms of compensating the donor or surrogate themselves, that has to be altruistic.
Okay, I understand, yeah. All right, so that sounds brave new worldish.
Oh, absolutely.
And where does that take, do you look further, do you project further for humanity? Where does that take us? Is there some kind of esoteric bent to this?
I guess I would be boring and say we absolutely need more state regulation of it, because part of the problem is how free market principles has infiltrated the reproductive market. It's encouraging this notion of consumer choice, which in a vacuum should be empowered. That when consumers are disproportionately selecting for traits that very much mirror a eugenics agenda, it makes you take a step back and think about the new status quo that we're recreating. So I think instead of the current practices, which are quite exploitative, we need to have more research into the topic. We need to have more experts sitting on the governmental committees informing these policies and directing the industry in a direction where there's more protections for sperm and egg donors and surrogates in general.
Okay, gendered eugenics, well, gee. And if Dr. Carissa Shoden is listening, she's got your essay on her desk, what mark do you expect to get from it?
I wrote it very much last minute.
Don't say that. No, you spent so much time on it.
I was not drinking sangria 2 hours before the essay was due.
Bonus points. Okay. What is the grade of marking at the university? Like, what's the top mark and what would be your bottom mark?
It varies according to your professor, and I think the subject matter too. In law, it's marked on a normal distribution curve where a certain number of people have to fall within the middle category, I think, from B- to B+.
Yes.
And there's only a certain lucky subset of people who get those A+, if any at all. And there's a lot of criticism on how that is done. But for my psychology and sociology papers, there's tend to be more liberal marking. I guess there's no mandatory requirement on like how many A+ you're allowed to give out.
Yes, okay.
Which is great.
What's your average? You got an average?
So it started off very high. I love to brag, but in my first semester, I retained my 9.0 GPA. But right now, it's looking in the high sixes.
It sounds good to me. All right. Hey, Lily, thank you very, very much for coming in this morning. You can go out and find a cup of coffee now.
I absolutely will.
How do you have your coffee? Did you say oat milk?
Oat milk. Usually I opt for iced latte, but given this weather, it might be a mocha.
I'm glad you've got your umbrella. And you've chosen a song for us, something you've been listening to recently. Lana Del Rey.
Because the hot new gossip is that she just started dating a Trump-supporting alligator tour guide in, I think it's Florida, which is very much her brand. I am obsessed with her, controversially.
Lily, thank you very much, and good luck with that essay.
Thank you so much.
That was Lecture Me.